And now,
all right, it starts now. Live. 1 minute. Hold on.
From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here on Declare Your Independence, I'm here in Stancock, and another independence declaring individual, Kingsley Edwards, CEO of Float. He and Aaron are good friends, and they got, oh, their one-year anniversary is coming up. That's right. In August, they got married at the Jackalope. It was a beautiful ceremony on the lake up there. It just worked out. You know, everything that was going on, they're doing the Narca Vegas and getting all set up and already had done it before. And they're going to have all kinds of partay and a pandemic and shut everything down. And screw them. We're going to Jackalope and we'll get her done, which they did. And it was awesome. So are you guys planning on going to Jackalope again this year?
You know it. It's our anniversary.
Yeah.
So yeah. And we just had a great time. I mean, you know, last year with Pork Fest, we went to for the first time, so we'll be going that to that again. We're actually Float's going to be a sponsor, and then Jack looked after that. So we're looking forward to both.
Oh, you got a sponsorship over at Pork Fest?
Yeah, we got it's like a porta pot. Like they clean the porta potties and whatever they. I don't know what kind of. It's the. I guess there's going to be Float logos all over the porta potties.
Boom! That's the Tarsus got sponsored by
active audience.
Okay, very cool, very cool. Yeah, you do it. Yeah, we always put QR code bumper stickers and everything inside the door. You know, what are you going to do for the next few minutes, man? Get out your smartphone. You know, so yeah, that's a good idea. I think we might do that again. You know, this has been a good ride for you. I want to introduce you the same we did with Benny. You know, If they don't like you, then why am I going to support, you know, what you've been doing? You're going to make a bunch of money for me to not like you. So let's go ahead and get people like you. So I want to get the history in the liberty space. You know, where did you start coming to the attention of voluntarism, of leave-me-aloneism, of libertarian anarchist, whatever the hell? You know, it started with crypto, I guess. You know, give us the story.
Yeah, no, it's actually, Ron Paul, 2008, first time runaround. And actually, I saw the first time I ever saw even anything about really Ron Paul or the thing that grabbed my attention was a post on Facebook. And then, you know, getting into Ron Paul and then learning, you know, diving in deep and falling down that rabbit hole that many do with, and the Fed and Austrian economics and, you know, precious metals. At the time too, I was really looking into the financial services. So I ended up getting into wealth management, and so that really opened me up to the idea of our whole monetary system, the whole banking cartel, which ultimately did lead me to crypto. And in 2012, 2013, I decided to jump in kind of professionally. I had a crypto company. We built a bunch of products and services around the space. And then up until, 2018, 2019, we really started to focus on Float and free speech and connecting people and also, connecting their payments peer-to-peer using cryptocurrency. So just building in my opinion, a real powerful and real world use case of cryptocurrency. On the social side.
Okay, wait. You skipped over something here. In the crypto space, as you had a company, what was it? What'd you do?
Yeah, yeah. We built actually in 2013, we built an esports platform with Bitcoin integrated. So people could play against each other in popular video games like Counter-Strike, Minecraft, League of Legends, Team Fortress 2, all games with, you know, millions and millions of users. But they could play against each other in a skill-based environment for Bitcoin. And I recognize that, you know, Bitcoin was in 2013, once I kind of really understood it, I just realized that this was my path and that this was, potentially the easiest path towards a more peaceful and prosperous, you know, future for the world, just by, you know, kind of opting out of the financial system and the central banking cartels and, you know, bringing money back, bringing it private back to the people.
Okay, now wait. I got a billion questions here. Esports, electronic, they're doing out there beating each other up with clubs and getting spines and stuff. And while they're doing that, there's some reward system, whatever, they can earn crypto. So you have gamers from around the world with online digital money being able to make, and you're doing that, and then all of a sudden it becomes a thing. I guarantee freaking tear somebody didn't like that. That is way too advanced of here we go and bypassing the system of none your business. That, you know, you got to dwell in your experience with that. The man definitely had something to say about that one. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, we were a bit ahead of our time. There's actually quite a few companies that are actually kind of, you know, starting to do similar things.
Yeah, well, they are freaking stroke-dash attorney. We have compliant officer of we're allowed. I guarantee that. You know, in the early days when you were doing this, you were just training the man on how they're going to regulate. You know, what was your experience?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty crazy because we also had we ended up having a B2B side of our business where we did work with casinos and we built technology and ran events so that they can kind of, you know, lure a younger audience, millennials, to casino floor and provide things that where they can play against each other in that aspect in a physical way, not only online but in person. But with doing that, with working with the casinos. That's when we started to have to really, we met with like gaming regulators in Nevada, you know, which is really the gold standard of the world, and gaming regulators, from all over, you know, Jersey, in Europe, in Asia. So we kind of taught them about esports, which, you know, the industry is more knowledgeable about now. And we taught them about Bitcoin. There's actually a picture that just popped up recently of like a memory of 2014 when we were showcasing what we were doing at one of the largest gambling conventions, G2E here in Las Vegas. And that's when, you know, we actually had conversations with even like the MGM. But I just remember going into these meetings with these regulators and just thinking, first of all, just kind of a waste of time. And then here I am, I'm about to educate these people and, you know, for free basically. But what do they do? They're not, you know, here, in, you know, this applies also to the financial world too. You know, I always think about this with the SEC and their crackdown on this or that. You know, sometimes they focus on fraud, which is, you know, I can at least, you know, somewhat agree with, maybe not the way that they handle it, the fact that it's, you know, done through taxation. But it's just that with the SEC cracking down on some legitimate projects in space. And then I always think, you know, well, you know, as someone who's just grown up in Las Vegas, I can take my savings and, you know, or, you know, sell the car and head down to the Vegas Strip and put everything on black. And the SEC doesn't have any issue with that. But neither do the game regulators. Right.
Well, they were more, it's not so much gaming or making it fair or whatever the hell they were doing. You know, what they're really doing is they were being the money laundering, know your customer arm for, you know, the Fed or something. You know, it's just integrated into you're not allowed to do this kind of monetary system because they can't track it, tax it, get their cut, and we're going to make sure and be in compliance. And it starts with somebody somewhere. And this is going to come to the attention of, you know, important people and have an interesting life. So we'll start with that when we come back in just a little bit. I want to get that experience and how it's going to rear its head if we go into tokens on float.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're talking to Kingsley Edwards, CEO of Float. He and Aaron Nakamoto, his lovely wife. You know, and that's another thing. She worked at one of the casino hotels and marketing of doing something, event deal. That's how you guys met, right?
Yeah. I was actually in, when I got into crypto, I was actually living in Toronto for a year, which was a really interesting time. Because they had their meetups were run by Anthony DiOrio, downtown Toronto, and who's you know, was a co-founder of Ethereum and runs Jack's Wallet and a bunch of other companies now. And there was just like, Toronto was such a good scene for crypto. Then there was a lot of people that came out of there. Peter Todd came from there. It was a kind of an OG Bitcoin engineer. A bunch of people, you know, Vitalik. And so when I moved back to Vegas from Toronto, because I couldn't handle the winter, you know, it's terrible, no sun for months. I was, forget about that. So I went back to Vegas and I just realized like, okay, well, there's not really, meetups happening here for, you know, for Bitcoin. And so and as soon as I started kind of thinking about that, I think this was, February-ish of 2014. I saw in the local, you know, news that this hotel casino in downtown Las Vegas was starting to accept Bitcoin for their hotel, for their like their gift shop, for their restaurants. They couldn't do it for the gambling side because of regulations. But you know, I thought that was really, really cool and interesting. So I thought that'd be a great place, and you know, provided a great reason to throw the first Las Vegas Bitcoin meetup down. And when I called the venue, it was actually Aaron who picked up, and she at the time didn't know what Bitcoin was. I guess she tells me that she like, you know, put me on hold and kind of looked up on the internet while I was still on the phone, you know, Bitcoin for Dummies or something. But yeah, we had a great meetup. We still run the meetups today. Obviously, you know, we haven't done that many things in the past year. But we have been holding even, you know, more private events since all this craziness in the world is taking place.
You know, one thing that the transition from working and pushing Bitcoin and so on to Float, tell me about that transition? Because I know you made a little money, you might have sold a little something, 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 and you all of a sudden now you got some cash, and you know we're going to develop and do. You know, tell me about that transition over to Float. When and how did that happen?
Yeah, so you know, the esports company that I was working on got acquired in 2017. Then I worked for that company in 2018. I left, did some consulting. I consulted for Consensus and some other crypto companies. And then I had, you know, I was basically all in crypto, and you know, I made a decent amount of money from doing this then. But I was highly leveraged in crypto back in 2018. And this is, you know, obviously the start of the you know, pretty bad crypto winter or bear market. So and a lot of my contracts were, basically they expired. All these projects, basically all my clients basically disappeared overnight because of what happened in the last, bear cycle. So, you know, we kind of had to figure out what we were going to do now. I had a consulting company at the time. And during that time, Erin actually, she started befriending quite a few, you know, independent journalists, content creators that were on YouTube. Some people that, you know, we both know that have been on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter for years and years and years and have been building up their communities there, reaching hundreds of thousands of people, you know, millions of people a month. And all of a sudden they were starting to get demonetized and deplatformed and shadow banned and just everything that you know is now known today, especially with the presidents getting censored. But back when we were looking into it, this wasn't really known by the mainstream.
Oh no, it was becoming obvious to a lot of us as after the Levolution, the 08 campaign, which they were doing it even during, you know, but it really, they went after it in overt. A lot of the people that we supported, 09, you know, we could see it coming. That's why I stopped. I'm not wasting my time, you know, trying to, you know, search engine optimization for, you can suck it. And so you guys started to recognize that. And then what, that motivated you to create a platform for them to not have that problem?
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly when I started noticing it too, back when with Ron Paul. I mean, I remember just, you know, watching him live on TV or yep. in person, and then it not being available, or, if they did show something, then all the news articles afterwards, you know, they would slander him or just completely lie of what he said or what he was talking about, call him a kook. And you're just like, what is going on here? That was so very, you know, eye-opening to see how manipulative the media can be.
Is that a trait of the Liberty community, exactly what you experienced? Is that one of the motivations? That's what, we're done. We're going to do something out. We already know. Because even if they aren't doing it, you know they want to. And as soon as they have the technical ability and they glean, you know, the FBI, you know, shows up and hires that, you know, at some convention, you know, a hacker fest of DEF CON or whatever, and they bring them all in to go, you know, enslave everybody. I mean, you know this is going on. So are there some people in the community that you're associated with and they go, woohoo, a FBI government paycheck, I'm over there. Have you known people to do that?
Do I? Do I know people that have crossed to the dark side?
Yeah, take their skills and go over there. And go, yeah, I'll take a job. Yeah. Give me a BMW, hookers and green fees. I'm on it, man.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I'm sure there are a few. You know, but I don't know. I don't know. We you know, Erin and I, we really just surrounded ourselves with just the best people. You know, we believe in the world. Just all, you know, pretty much volunteers. It's funny. Even just like talking to a lot of friends or family and they just continually complain about other people that aren't kind of in the know or libertarian leaning, and it just that's something that we just really don't struggle with right now because we're just we're just so deep into to the community and just again everybody I spend so much time I have been even with Erin herself when we first met I you know, she was an Obama supporter. She just, you know, I helped her kind of see the light just by asking questions, kind of by helping her, answer her own, find her own path by asking the right question.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, I've done it with both friends and family. And if they don't get it after a certain time, then typically, they'll
willful ignorance. You did your bit. You know, when we come back, we're going into break. You know, we'll do the transition and the float. I want to, that came out. What was the first steps? How did you start getting your development team? Where you are now? You know, what we're doing? Because, you know, full disclosure, when they were doing a seed crowd fund kind of whatever and a big discount of a nickel a piece to get, and I go, hell yeah, I want a bunch because I know I invest in people and goals. You got good people, good goals, boom!
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Kingsley Edwards, a dynamic duo with Aaron, CEOs of Float, FLOTE.app. You know, do you go that way? Is it .app? Is that how you access it, or .com or what?
Yeah, I actually usually promote, we used to promote float.app. Now we promote actually joinfloat.com, and I have both spellings. So it auto redirects. If you spell float the normal way, joinfloat.com, it'll bring to float.app. So that's what I usually promote.
Okay. I want to get into the future and everything. But we got to get to the past a little bit of how you transition. Okay. You go, we need to do float. What is float and why you did it? And you started off kind of, we'll just go. Yeah, we use the Amazon cloud servers. Yeah, you know, as a transition to not, you know, but you know, go ahead and talk about what your goal is, how you started, where you're at now. You've done some fundraising. You have people supporting you. You're getting a budget. You do development. We're going into the next phase, and we're willing to work with you. So I must like you or something. So tell me everything from the beginning. Go.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, Aaron's. She started. Making friends with these independent journalists, and they were getting deplatformed basically, and these are the same people that really are the reasons why these big tech social networks took off, because they are providing a alternative narrative and more of the truth at the very least to the BoobTube, to the mainstream outlets. So, and then just personally, I noticed, I actually used to be kind of a Google fanboy early on, and, do no evil and blah, 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 blah. And I used to like, their technology and all that, their UI, UX. But then just using Google as a research tool myself, and YouTube and all this to actually, I'm a curious individual, using them as tools to look into various topics that, I like to do. That I just started noticing that I noticed myself that these algorithms were definitely changing. I wasn't getting the same results that I used to. I wasn't able to find the same information that right. I was able to before. And then, then these independent journalists, especially after Alex Jones was taken down, they started having to change the words that they say. How Orwellian, to cover current events, whether it's a shooting, police brutality, foreign war, or even cryptocurrency. People have been, or alternative health, saying vitamin C is healthy. They start to use code words, and it still goes on.
The worst is about that. I tell you, man, it's Luke Radowski, man. He's got a code word for everything. I'm just going, seriously. And he's so sucked into that thing. And I need a platform that's not. And you go, yeah, but, you got to go where the people are. What people? And I don't believe a damn thing they say. I got firsthand knowledge of, I got thousands of hits on whatever. And then it says 400 on YouTube. I'm like, right. I can see it. Yeah, no, there's obviously some lying going on here. And then the people, they could be robots, right? They want to encourage you with metrics. They want to get numbers. That's why James and I don't even, Corbett and I, we don't even look at, I don't even give a crap. Well, how many, enough that we can keep doing it, enough that they're supportive of it, enough that if I, started to deviate from that, I would lose them. I can carry that, So I'm going, no, we're not playing that game. So the thing is I the people that you would get, maybe I don't freaking want. I'm like, you know, why do I want these people that are so brain dead? All they want to do is be a troll anyway. So Float did what? How are you different? What is going to make you different? How are you transitioning to different? Hook us up, man. Tell me what's up.
Yeah. So we, you know, so once we started looking into it, we did some more market research and you know, looking at the other platforms that were available. And then we went through, like I mentioned, the you know, got some pre-seed funding from Boots VC and Adam Draper, and you know, we really wanted to have a way where people, you know, can communicate with each other freely and support free speech. And this is, you know, or, you know, like I mentioned, in early 2019. So I had a investor network of, you know, VCs and angel investors in the Bay Area. And during Boost VC, I, you know, during the program in California, I basically, you know, went to them and tried to do some more fundraising. And basically, you know, it just fell on deaf ears. Everybody was like, oh, you're just, it just all of a sudden free speech became like controversial and no one really cared about, you know, what was going on. And they didn't realize the impact that it could have on society and worldwide. And, you know, and I think about it just personally, you know, with Aaron and starting a family, just, you know, from wanting to bring children into this world, some Liberty Babies, you know, then not
breed them out. Yep.
to, you know, have find their own truth or look into things, you know, without this huge bias. So, you know, it's just like how they kind of have the control over, you know, over the mainstream, you know, channels on the TV and the radio before that. I think that, you know, the powers that be, they saw that the internet was basically, you know, running amok and people were talking too much amongst each other and figuring things out. And then, you know, here comes cryptocurrency. Now the cat's out of the bag and we have this multi-headed hydra that is unstoppable and can't be taken down. So that's what we, you know, again, what we wanted to do with Flow is just, you know, create a lot of the things that people like on social networks, integrate cryptocurrency. So every account comes with the crypto wallets. And so by that, we're creating this kind of, you know, natural network effect and then have a, you know, an uncensorable payment mechanism, which is also an issue with a lot of people's bank accounts and PayPals and this and that fiat, you know, system. They'll get targeted in that aspect as well, not just on the social, big tech social side. What was that?
No, I was talking to Donna. I don't see her Telegram. I was wanting to forward her a story, and you were talking about something. Okay. And I looked up something. I'm going, yeah, see, even all these social media, you know, chat, Telegram, kind of stuff, encryption, you know, how's Float going to be offering different, what services are you going to have?
Right. So, yeah, so we launched with quite a few services out of the gate. We have, you know, encrypted messaging. We have the ability for, you know, kind of normal standard social media posts. You can upload, you know, text in kind of long form, kind of medium type blog posts, short form, kind of like a tweet if you want, you know, images, video, audio, which I think, you know, helps us stand out right now. We're looking to add some more audio features. We have live streaming as well. With super chat functionality. So when you tip on Float again, we're just connecting people and payments. So instead of, you know, when you say if you ever tip someone during a live stream on YouTube, well, Google sits in there as a middleman or intermediary and they take their 30%, you know, cut. We're just connecting people. So these payments are peer-to-peer. So everything that you receive on Float, whether it's we have subscriptions too, where you can hide your content behind a paywall. But yeah, everything that we have on our sites, you know, as far as like our big strategy is, you know, helping content creators monetize with using cryptocurrency.
Well, you know, one of the guys that, you know, he wrapped the van with Float, he big Float fan, is Studio 8424 LRN on Telegram, but Studio 8424, he's taking, content, live content. And he made a station on Float. You know, that, you know, live streams it and doing, he's, you know, he's pimping that out and he's inspired to help you guys. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities. You guys are letting people do, you know, knock stuff out, man. That's what it's for. Peace out. Now, I wanted to talk about, you know, when we come back, going into break here in a little bit, but integration with the Interplanetary File System. I know you guys are like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, you know, I think we got a way of doing it, and we're getting close by Pork Fest. We're going to be demonstrating some integration with float stuff, and I see this as the future. And when you go to these cryptocurrency events, like you just came from Miami, how do you differentiate yourself from the rabble? How do you show this is the future, this is what we're doing? And when you did or you mentioned it, I'm wondering what the comment might have been of anybody. Ooh, you're so strong, you must lift. We're going to find out when we come back, Tingley Edwards, and how it's being perceived. I don't care, because it's just going to overwhelm, and here it comes, and our pirate of Bite Me, and here we go. And then, if you buy some float token, well, there's more going to be coming out, and then it's going to hit the exchange, and then what? We'll be right back. Let's talk about it.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Kingsley Edwards from Float, float.com, float.app. Now, this is one thing a lot of the guys, as they really were drilling down in on, the man can't, because if they can, they will. So they wanted to, you know, if we're going to work with Float, we want to make sure that we're integrating with somewhere that if we put all this stuff up, then that it's going to stay there. You know, because when they want to cancel, they're going to cancel in the 45 and subpoena of you're not allowed and you can't, and so saith the man. Well, then, you know, they go, well, our policy is, policy don't mean squat, Kingsley. I don't give a crap what your policy is. I went through this with, you know, was it Brighton with Mike Adams. They're really pushing for us to go over there and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, we'll wait and see and how you do. And Christchurch shooting happened, and they couldn't get their stuff off of there because they were threatened fast enough. And I'm going, well, that's exactly why you do it. You know, that's it. What the hell? You know, policy is policy. You're going to, you know, have the capability of doing what the man says policy. What kind of policy is that? You know? So I'm going, all right. So now Library gets a lot of support because they got, you know, Library app, which is an app you run on your computer that does a peer-to-peer thing that makes it more difficult. So then what happens? The SEC goes after Library for their token of doing something, and you're not allowed a lawsuit of legal or not. We're going to, you know, give you a blizzard of paperwork of compliance of profits to attorney crap, you know. So, you know, I'm sure Float's looking at that going, damn, man, how we do this? So I'm going, all right, if we have a pull from the IPFS RSS feeds that we're doing from Freedom's Phoenix into our IPFS pulls. We load it from Freedom's Phoenix, goes to IPFS, you go there and you pull it to populate the profile on Float. Well, then where do you put all that media? You got all these guys, you know, mine and Corbett and everybody else and their grandma putting up a bunch of videos. Well, that's server space you got to buy. Somehow it's got to be paid for. Somehow you got to something. And I'm going, okay, well, you can buy and get into Float token community or so, or that stuff is just a hash and it goes on to the world cloud of internet 3-point kiss my butt of the people. And you go, all right, you want to see the video? Click this hash, boom, and it plays faster than the web. Faster. The more popular the stuff is, the faster it goes. You go to Corbett IPFS, it's faster than his World Wide Web. And I'm going, this is the future. So I got to ask you, I'm in front of, you know, God and everybody, you know, is, you know, Float working with us to be able to create that to where you pull from the content providers, it goes up to a profile and links to video files out on IPFS, and we're done. I mean, I get an amen on that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, we started with Float where, you know, it was kind of, you know, the idea of decentralize all the things. And you know, it is important to build these you know, these resilient kind of unstoppable systems. But as, you know, another aspect of what we're doing is that you know, it's the communication side. Not we just realized that not everything, you know, needs to be live forever and be on a fully worldwide distributed, you know, system basically. So or a blockchain. So you know, we don't have to put, you know, a cat picture of our picture of our Doge dog. Who's right near me right now, Satoshi. You know, we don't need these pictures to be around necessarily, but we want to give our users the choice to interact with these different systems like IPFS or different blockchains, so that we can you know, give them the choice to you know, basically archive have this kind of, you know, resilient archival system. at their disposal through Float. And that's so we're really a big into interoperability. I mentioned just on the break that even just building these bridges from even big tech companies to Float, and also from Float to these alternative social sites and resilience systems like IPFS. That's basically where we're headed. It's taking us a little bit longer to get there. I mentioned some of the issues with struggles with fundraising in the beginning and all this and all that. But now we've hit this cross section of cryptocurrency, entering the bull market, and just more and more people waking up to the fact of what's going on with big tech censorship, and them getting waking up.
Okay, so I got to ask the question. When you have we start, because this is why I don't do a lot of these social medias. I'm not investing time because I'm an old guy. I've been doing this, radio hell for 17 years. I've been Freedom's Phoenix since 05. This before the WordPress. What the hell is that? We PHP'd everything. We're doing Rust on the software or the bootstrap of the blah, blah, blah. I mean, back in the day of all kinds of crap. So I'm going, every time we go on to something, and it's censored, and it's gone, and it's bought out, and it's merged into Facebook, Google, whatever they got it to. And after doing this a long time and been 30-something years in this space, I know what's coming, Kingsley. So I'm going, all right, is there a way, a mechanism by which you are saving the profiles that is not deletable? Are you? I don't care how many parallel versions of the net and who you work with and interface with. Well, I don't give a crap. But one of them needs to be that this material is available and it can't be deleted. Assuage my concerns, Kingsley.
Yes, and yes. So that's what we are doing. But there's basically there's different strategies on how to accomplish that. Does it need to be IPFS? Does it need to be, some sort of blockchain? And the answer is really no. But it is good to have those options available as well. We believe that, you can basically be very resilient by working with the right server groups and having, data, backups across multiple different providers, including ourselves. So there's just a difference of how to accomplish it in the right way. But again, we are looking to interface with IPFS and even library app and other blockchains, and giving our users that ability to back up their
data. Yeah, I don't care how many freaking 15 billion ways you do it, as long as one of them they can't take down. They can't. Somebody tells me our policy one more time, I'm going to freaking barf in their face. I don't give a shit what your policy – oh, did I say that out loud? I don't give a crap what your policy is. It's the capability. Because if you can, they're going to show you a 45 that says you better. I guarantee it. Especially as we go into the future. Especially. Now, when you were in Miami, what was the mindset there? What were the people thinking? What were you, did you even mention this, or people starting to come up with other solutions? Because they were, and we'll get into this in the after show. It'd be worth listening to that, because I don't want any interruption, in time on this, because you had the, some Bitcoin, whatever the hell it was, and then the shitcoin thing, or whatever the hell that was. Tell us what was going on, what we'll be talking about in the next segment, Kingsley.
Okay. Yeah. Are we going to a break right now?
No, we got about a minute and a half before we go. But okay. Prepping what we're going to talk about so they get on the edge of their seat.
I mean, we just got back, from Miami. There was the largest crypto event happened in Miami last week. Really exciting. A lot of good people that were in town. It was good to see a lot of familiar faces in the space and good people. That are working on the right things and strategies and for the right reasons in the space, not just the crypto spespeculators or the the VCs that are only interested in making money, but those people were there too. We had just such a great and fun productive trip and just received phenomenal positive feedback on what we're doing and why we're doing that. So yeah, I'm excited to get into that.
Well, tell me, did the Everybody have to take shots? Every time I go somewhere, oh no, here comes Ernie. Every time he says IPFS, you got to take a shot of whiskey. So I'm just wondering, did he get any shots? IPFS mentioned any?
You know, IPFS, yeah, I mean, there was a few people that mentioned IPFS, but as far as, yeah, just like, you know, we were sponsorship actually at the Shitcoin conference, and it was good. It was good to actually interact with a lot of these people that we don't know and that, you know, aren't part of this, you know, I would say our community that are more just kind of, you know, crypto people. And just to get their thoughts on again, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it. And, you know, like I said, even just we had our VP of business development guy there who was helping us out with networking and everything. And he was just, you know, he was even though, you know, he agrees with, you know, what we're doing, he was pleasantly surprised on just kind of how the turnout was and what the word was talking about. What was going on.
Well, I guess it's up to me to keep the flame alive. Well, that's what we're doing. You know, we platformed a bunch of, I mean, we've been busy. So this is going to be the wherever we can have that we can interface with the social media that will platform and interface with the content providers for doing this. We're going to promote the crap out of it. We can get close to do it. My tokens are going to be worth more. Watch me!